Welcome to What a Creep, the show with Margot Donahue and Sonia Mansfield talking about creeps from the past to the present.
This is your quick guide to the biggest creeps, jerks, assholes, and losers, the best of the worst.
From two nice ladies who want the world to be a little less creepy.
Welcome back to What a Creep. This is Margot Donahue, and my cohort in creepitude, as always, is the amazing Sonia Mansfield. Hey, Sonia.
Hello, my friend.
Hello, my friend. We have today an old-timey creep. People love it when we pick out creeps from, like, the last century. It gives them a smile. It gives them a giggle.
It does. I love doing the old-timey creeps, too. He's a real piece of work, too.
And just so you know, if this is your first time, we always end the episode with someone who's not a creep, just to make you feel a little bit more uplifted and have a little bit more hope in the world.
Yeah, the world's not an entire dumpster fire.
It's not. There's some goodness out there, kids. Just look
for it.
It is. We all have to just look for it. You can find us on social media. I would start with the Facebook page, but we never go to the Facebook page. Basically, that's a place where people like to harp on the fact that we use salty language. If you don't like salty language, you're not going to like this show.
You fuck no, you won't.
We have a private Facebook group, What a Creep Podcast Group, where people go in to talk about creeps from the past to the present, also non-creeps, and we're always looking for suggestions for both. You do have to answer a few questions before you come in, but that's just to keep it a nice, safe community. Thank you, all of you that are in there. You cohorts are the best cohorts ever.
It is the best group on Facebook.
We are on Twitter, we're at CreepPod, because somebody had What a Creep for 10 years and never used it.
Creep.
We're on What a Creep Podcast on Instagram. Please be sure to follow us there. We're upping our Instagram game. We have a basic old-timey email, whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com. If you would like some stickers, send us an email. We'll drop them in the mail for you. Also for comments and suggestions. I was going to go yesterday, Sonia.
Yes.
I walked to Windsor Terrace. I saw the post office box. I was going to drop them in there. And then I saw a sign and it said, Dog Day Afternoon Hot Dogs. It is a new hot dog stand that opened right where they filmed the movie Dog Day Afternoon.
That is hilarious.
They make Chicago dogs.
What?
I walked in and the guy had pictures of movies filmed in Brooklyn all over the walls. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
And I said, do you know I'm writing a book about this? He's like, oh my God, I would buy that book. We just opened 2 weeks ago. Have a hot dog. They have vegan dogs, by the way, so when you come out and visit.
Yummy.
We'll check it out. So I do have a stack of those going out there being my point, my long dragged out point. I will get them out there this weekend. You get them soon. And that's for the people who are requested some stickers, but also for people who joined our Patreon page. I want to thank Jessica, Teresa, Carolyn, and Christina for joining us at PATREON. Look up What a Creep Podcast Group. We put out two bonus episodes a month, sometimes more. We also have a newsletter. And we really, really appreciate it. It just helps us keep the lights on to pay for all the editing software and the hosting services and stamps, which are really expensive, by the way, to send all those stickers overseas.
Yeah. Yes, and if you want to, you could go to our website. It's at whatacreeppodcast.com, and it's everything you ever wanted to know about our podcast, but we're afraid to ask, and it has a link to our merch shop. And on our merch shop, you could get t-shirts and tote bags and masks. The masks are super comfortable. I wear my maybe next year mask all the time. It's one of my favorite ones to wear, so go check it out.
Definitely check it out. And I wanted everybody that left 5-star reviews recently. Paper Doll 82, SPB in BXL. She
says, that just rolls off the tongue.
It does. I know, right? I had to practice doing this. She and her husband, they listen while they're cooking. He likes our show. It's one of the few he'll put up with. EKSH1. Oh, a good day. All of you, thank you so much for the 5-star reviews. We totally appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. It helps offset the 1-star reviews we get from people who are like, they're a couple of Karens, me.
What's all this hot dog content? I don't care. It's really delicious, by the way.
I know. I will definitely go and get a nice vegan dog there, and I'll stand out front and go, hot dogs, hot dogs.
Now, are we ready to talk about today's creep?
Okay. Let's start with this. Margo, have you ever owned a Ford car?
You know, I haven't owned a car in 25 years because I moved to New York.
Yeah.
But I had a Ford something or other. It was built in Canada. I know that.
Ooh, okay.
It was very exotic.
I have never owned a Ford. But
I had a Camaro. Was that a Ford?
That's a Chevy.
Chevy. Okay.
I also had a Camaro.
I had a bitchin' Camaro. I love that Camaro.
Me too. I had a 1978 Camaro. It was fast as fuck, boy.
Mine was a 79.
It was so fast. I got so many speeding tickets in that car. So many. Anyway, we are going to be talking about Henry Ford, and sources for this episode include the American Experience episode, Henry Ford. It's on PBS. I also went to PBS.com, History.com, Biography.com, Salon. There's a website just for Edsel Ford, which is Henry Ford's son. Went to the Henry Ford Museum website, I mean, not in person. And of course, Wikipedia. And trigger warnings are anti-Semitism and racism. Whee! So Henry Ford rose from obscurity to become one of the most successful men in history. His Ford cars ushered in the modern world, but he was also a racist and an anti-Semite who tried to control his workers' lives and bullied people closest to him. He's a real creep. So let's start at the beginning. I'm sorry, born on July 30th, 1863. Please remember, isn't that crazy? 18th century. So old.
19th
Henry
century.
Ford. Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Henry Ford was the eldest son of 8 children. His parents were farmers William and Mary Ford, and this was in Spring Wells Township, Michigan. Growing up, he was always more obsessed with the machinery that could make farming easier than actually working on the farm. His parents were fine with that. They were actually really supportive. And with his parents' blessing, 16-year-old Henry Ford went to live with his aunt in Detroit, where he got a job as a machinist, and he made $2.50 an hour.
Sweet.
Yeah, he was rolling in it. He was making it rain, going to square dances and making it rain. When he was 21, he met Clara Bryant at a country dance, and they were married a year later. This was 1888. And on November 6th, 1893, Clara gave birth to their only child, a son named Edsel Bryant Ford. And Henry was a gifted machinist. And by the time he was 31, he was the chief engineer at Edison Illuminating Company, which is the big company that was giving electricity to American cities. It's like, I think it was probably the only one. So it was a great job.
Yeah,
it was
a really
good job. But Henry was really obsessed with the idea of horseless carriages, also known as cars. But first they were called horseless carriages. And he would read all about them and he would study them. And at the time, cars were for rich people. And Henry had this different idea. He wanted to build a reliable, more affordable car that everybody could have. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of our creeps are all bad, and Henry Ford is pretty bad. But this is pretty cool. Like, to create a car that everybody could have. It really changed the world. It really did. So on June 3rd, 1896, Henry Ford drove his horseless carriage through the streets of Detroit for the first time, and it was a huge success. He called it a quadricycle. It went 20 miles per hour, and it had no brakes.
Holy shit.
I like to imagine this is when bumper stickers were invented, too. So maybe he had a bumper sticker on there that said, I brake for nothing because I don't have any brakes. That's the story I'm telling myself. So the horseless carriage was a huge success, and all these investors lined up. And within 3 years, he had quit his engineering job, and he created this team to open, like, the first ever, like, car manufacturing firms. So in October 1908, Henry introduces the Model T. And within months, demand is so high that the company put new orders on hiatus, and This was like the earliest effort to make a car that people could actually buy. Like the common man could get a car. And that, once again, big deal. Very big deal.
Sure.
And a few years after that, he created the first like automobile assembly line in the world and it employed 13,000 men. It's really like a huge operation. But getting the plant built was tough. And I wrote in here, Ford tough. And Henry controlled every little part of the new construction and he destroyed anything that was off, even if it was just a few inches. And yeah, we're talking about like old timey construction. It's not like it is now where, you know, you put in all this work and if it's a few inches off, maybe he let it slide. But Henry was not that guy. And at one point, Henry was traveling for work and Edsel, his son, decided to expand the administration building at their plant. So both the accounting and the sales department had outgrown their space. He started the construction on a new space for them. He like dug up a basement and the work had begun. And then Henry came home from his trip and confronted Edsel, like yelled at him in front of everybody and stopped the work. And the next morning, the accountants went to work and their offices were stripped. No desks, no chairs, no files, no telephones. The carpeting was gone and he fired all of them.
Why?
Henry, he abolished the accounting department and he told like Edsel that now there's plenty of room for sales staff and we don't need a new building. Like he did it just to fuck with his son.
But where does accounting go? You need accounting.
Apparently he didn't think they did. I'm sure they had to hire people again anyway.
Oh my God.
He's such an asshole. So all those people lost their job. And there's this huge hole like near the plant, right? Where they were going to build the space. And Edsel's like, okay, Dad, you win. Like, and I'll fill the hole. But Henry Ford made him leave it. And every day Edsel was forced to walk by the hole to be reminded that he's not allowed to make these kinds of decisions. Like, and Edsel said to someone, I don't know what kick my father gets out of humiliating me this way.
What a prick.
He's such a prick. He's such a shitty dad.
Oh, my God.
Such a shitty. There's going to be so much more about this. In 1914, Henry introduced a $5 a day wage for 8-hour workdays. Big deal at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound like a lot. Most of the pay back then was like $2.34 for a 9-hour day.
Jesus.
Yeah. So it's like twice what you would make at other auto companies. And like 10,000 people showed up the next day to get jobs for Ford. He also offered like profit sharing to employees who stayed for more than 6 months. But this all came at a price. Henry used his leverage as an employer to control workers' lives and Americanize, quote unquote, those who immigrated from elsewhere. So if you want that money, you need to live the kind of life that he wanted you to live. So this is some bullshit. These workers signed on for $5 a day, but their pay actually remained at $2.50 a day. Mm-hmm. And the extra money was given to them as a bonus and they had to earn it. And Henry introduced these bonuses. He established something called a sociological department in the company and it sent inspectors to the homes of his employees and make sure that they were living in a way that Henry approved of. This is bullshit. And if you didn't live in a way that Henry approved of, you were denied the pay. And here's how you could lose that. If your wife worked outside the home, you did not qualify for the $5 a day. If your homes were dirty, you did not qualify for $5 a day. If you were drinking or gambling, you do not qualify. If you had boarders in your house, you do not qualify. And if you didn't have a savings account, isn't that crazy?
Oh my God. Like over thousands of people?
Yes. Most of his employees were male immigrants. So Henry set up this like English school for his workers. And he said, like, it would be safer and more efficient if everyone spoke the same language. Sure.
Okay. That makes sense.
But it was also like, it wasn't just that you needed to learn English. It's that you had to also like abandon like your cultural practices. And school attendance was mandatory. And workers who hesitated or like continued to try to do their own like cultural practices from their countries, they were laid off. And they had this huge graduation ceremony. And workers would go to the ceremony and you would dress up. He would have them dress up in like the stereotypical costume from whatever country they were from.
Oh, Jesus.
I know. It's such bullshit. And he had a stage set up and it literally looked like a giant like pot, right? The idea of the melting pot. He set up a stage that looked like a pot and the graduates are supposed to like walk behind the stage and it looks like they're going into the melting pot and then they would change clothes and they would emerge wearing a suit and tie so that this is a thing. And he would think that, so to people in the audience, it looked like that, like these people had gone into the pot and they came out as American. And apparently Americans wear suits and ties and nobody else does. I don't know how that works,
but
isn't that crazy?
That's insane.
He's such It's so shitty. I feel so bad for these people. And then they're being spied on all the time and just for, you know, for some money, because it was, that's a lot of money for the time. I feel really bad for those people.
Yeah,
it's so shitty. So here's some more shitty things he did to Edsel. So in December 1918, Henry like announced that he was resigning from the Ford Motor Company. So he announces he's leaving. The board votes to make Edsel president. 3 months later, Henry's like, I'm going to start my own automobile company and I'm going to make like a stripped down version of the Model T and I'm going to sell it for cheaper. And, you know, the public's like, yay, cheaper cars. But like the stockholders were super freaked out, the Ford Motor Company stockholders. So they sold all their stocks. And then it turned out this was just a big trick. And Henry's people bought all the stock and there was no rival auto company. He had like no plans to do any of that. It was just like his power grab. So now that he controlled the entire company.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And Edsel wasn't in on the plan. He was humiliated. He thought he was going to be president of this company. And it's like, no, you're not. I'm not really going to do any of these things. I bought the company. He kept Edsel as president, but in name only, and Henry had all the power.
Wow.
He's so, so shitty to Edsel. God. And by the way, Edsel, by all accounts, was like a decent person. Like, he did not deserve this. Henry's such a prick. And we're going to talk about that more in a bit, because I want to talk about how racist and anti-Semitic Henry Ford was. So this, now we're in the 1920s and Henry started hiring a lot of African Americans. Many of them were moving north, you know, from the South for obvious reasons, and they were looking for jobs. And Henry would actually, he was one of the companies that would actually hire like Black people. A lot of companies wouldn't, but he would, and he would pay them a similar wage, but he would only hire them for like certain positions in the company. And usually those positions were like the most dangerous areas of the factory. And he believed the Black people were inferior and they could only advance so far in the workplace. Like they would never be promoted high up in the company. And he was very blatant about that. Like, these are your jobs. You can work in like the dangerous part of the factory and no, you're not going to get promoted.
What a fucker.
I know. Racist as fuck. So during this time, Henry also bought like his hometown newspaper, and it's called the Dearborn Independent. And he began publishing a series of articles that claimed There was like a vast Jewish conspiracy infecting America. Yes, here we go. And Henry would claim the Jews were at the root of like all the world's problems. And, you know, he's saying this in his newspaper, like Jews caused all the wars. They, you know, all the crime that's going on, it's all because of the Jews. He actually wrote in one of his articles, and this is a quote, "If fans wish to know the trouble with American baseball, they have it in three words: too much Jew." Yes.
Wow. According
to Henry Ford, Jews ruined baseball. Like, what the? He's so, oh my God, he's such a piece of shit. So, and here's why this is a big deal. So, Henry Ford is one of the most famous men in America at the time, and he's employing so many people. And he has these really shitty, like, racist, anti-Semitic ideas, and he's publishing them in what could be, like, a little newspaper, but he's Henry Ford. So he's giving all of this a platform, and this little paper, like, it's in dealerships all around the country. Like, he put it in his Ford dealership.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Like, there would be stacks of these papers, like, in the dealerships for people to read. They would put them in the cars. So if you bought a car, it came with a copy of the Dearborn Independent. Like, and because Henry Ford is so famous, like, other newspapers would pick up what he said and report it like it was fact. And it was a really big deal. Like, and he wrote all these articles. It ran in like 91 different editions of the paper, and then eventually he took all those articles and he bound them together in books, and he called it the International Jew.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes. And he distributed 500,000 copies, and they were all over his dealerships. Like, it had subscribers. Like, he also republished something called the Protocols of the Elders of Zion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if people don't know what that is, it's like this very notorious like forgery that came out of Russia, and it was like translated into English, and it claims that there's this international Jewish conspiracy that all the Jews get together and plan the fate of the world. It's fucking stupid.
It's bananas, and people believe it.
Yeah.
I was in a car once. I was being taken home from the airport, middle of the night. The driver starts talking about 9/11. And then he starts like, you know, no Jews died that day. And I was like, yeah, they did, because I knew people. He says, no, no. He turns around, points at me, goes, have you ever read about the articles, the Protocol of Zion? And then I'm like, I'm about 2 miles from my apartment. I'm like, I'm not going to fight this guy. It's the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I just want to get home. But yeah, that bullshit still rings out there.
That is such bullshit. Was he driving a Ford? He probably was.
I don't know. It was a yellow cab.
I bet you anything it was a Ford Escort or something like
that.
It
was it was really scary.
It is so scary. And he printed this in its entirety in his newspaper, and it looked like it was news. This, you know, any normal person would read it and take it to be news. So this is like the equivalent of Fox News, like taking an article from The Onion and reporting it as fact, which I think Fox News has actually done.
I know Ted Cruz has. Or Margaret Ruby.
100% has. It was the article about, like, they're opening an abortion clinic in the mall or something. Do you remember that one? And all these Republicans were like, what? See? Looking. And it's like, that's from The Onion, you assholes. It's like, they're so stupid. So Henry was such a great anti-Semite that he received an award from Hitler himself. The award is called the Grand Cross of the German Eagle and is the most important award Nazis would give to foreigners.
Did Lindbergh get one?
I don't know. Did he?
I don't know.
I bet
I
he did.
I looked that up. Yeah.
Hitler was a really big fan of Henry Ford and his writing. He praised him all the time. He mentions Henry Ford favorably in Mein Kampf. And Hitler had a photo of Ford on his wall in his office in Munich. Dude, when you got fucking Hitler liking you, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, a murderous dictator being your biggest fan.
Yeah,
there's
gross.
Something fucked up there.
Yeah, Hitler actually did an interview in 1931, and he said he regarded Henry Ford as an inspiration. And he said that he was keeping Ford's life-size portrait next to his desk, and that he revered Ford. And he said, "I shall do my best to put his theories into practice in Germany." And he actually modeled the Volkswagen Beetle after the Model T.
Holy shit. A life-size portrait?
Yeah.
That's fucking big.
That's really big.
That's like one of those card cutouts you have at the movie theater?
Yeah.
That's
exactly. Jesus. He had a Ford standee.
Like Tom Cruise or something?
Yes. He was a huge fan. I'm sure he like got his autograph and, you know, paid for Henry Ford cameos.
Fangirls at heart, aren't they? Assholes. They're such sycophants.
I love that you said fangirl, because I wrote in here, "Meanwhile, during all this racism, anti-Semitism, and Hitler fangirling." the Model T was actually starting to sell less and less. And the VIP, or sorry, the VIP, the VP, the vice president of Ford Motor Company, he wrote this letter to Henry, and he was like, "Hey, like maybe we should release like a new model car to like boost sales." And like Henry just like mocked and embarrassed this guy in every meeting until he finally quit, because how dare you question Henry Ford?
Don't you know who I am?
Do you know who I am? I am Henry motherfucking Ford. I am Hitler's BFF.
It's one of those John Mulaney jokes.
Is it?
Yeah, he was like being basically verbally assaulted by a group of drag women. And one of them just went, "Don't you know who I am? I'm Strawberry Alarm Clock." He's like, "Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry, Strawberry." Oh, John Mulaney.
Oh, man.
Oh, we have thoughts about that.
Yep.
So Edsel, he was always trying to get his father's approval, and he really wanted approval for a new car. And he was repeatedly turned down. And once there was like a big company luncheon, and Henry stood up and he yelled at Edsel to shut up in front of everyone. And then, like, stormed out of the room. And this was because Edsel had the nerve to suggest that they put a hydraulic braking system in their cars. I'm like, how dare you suggest that you put brakes in the cars? What an asshole. He's such a dick. So Edsel kept hounding him for this and eventually convinced him to release another car. And they released the Model A, and it was a huge success. And even though Edsel had done all the work, and Edsel was really into like the look of cars, like the engines and things like that, that was like Henry's jam. But like the look of it and the style of cars and what we see now, it all was Edsel. So Edsel had done all the work, and then Henry, like once it was a success, took all the credit.
Of course.
Of course he did. He couldn't let him have that moment in the sun, you know, and he was just such a shitty father to him. He talked shit about him to everybody. And sometimes Henry had like a private security team, and he would have it spy on Edsel all the time and break into his house and smash his things.
What the fuck?
Yeah. But like Edsel would drink alcohol. He wasn't an alcoholic, by the way. He was just,
he would just drink alcohol. Father, are you kidding
me? No shit, right? And Henry Ford was like, dry. He didn't approve of such things. And so he would show up and like smash all the alcohol and then like just smash other things in the house.
This is what alcoholics do, which you don't do. But this is what they do, which you don't do, which is not in your nature. What an asshole.
He thought Edsel was weak and indecisive, but everyone else who worked with Edsel said that he was actually really collaborative and that he was actually pretty progressive as a leader, and that he had made a lot of contributions to the company. Like, he founded the Mercury division, and that's still a car that's out there. He was responsible for the Lincoln and the Continental.
I've heard of them.
And he strengthened like the overseas production of their cars. he modernized the cars and he actually did finally get those hydraulic brakes in there. So good for him. It sounds like he was a decent person. It sucks he had such a shitty fucking dad. You know, when he wasn't busy being a bigot or a shitty father, Henry Ford was trying to bust up unions. He opposed anything that he saw as union organizing. And when a bunch of his workers organized this hunger march to the Ford factory, this is all during the Great Depression, so it's like 1932. Mm-hmm. They wanted a right to organize, you know, to fight for their rights. They should. Unions are great. If you like a 5-day work week, it's thanks to unions, yep. By the way, FYI.
So 8-hour workday.
Yep, this is all thanks to unions. Henry got the police and members of his own like private security team to like bust up this march. They threw tear gas at these people. They sprayed them with fire hoses, and his security team even shot guns into the crowd. And five marchers were killed and dozens were injured.
Jesus.
From this. It's fucking bananas. This security team was off the rails, by the way. I should actually put some stuff together for a bonus ep where we could talk about the security team, because it was led by someone named Henry Bennett and they did some fucked up shit.
Yeah, write that down. We'll put that in the bonus ep.
Yeah, I'm going to write it down right now. Henry Bennett, writing it down, because it would be a good one. I don't have enough time to go into all the things, but here's a few of the other things. In 1937, the security team led by Henry Bennett brutally beat union organizers trying to pass out leaflets outside the plant. And one of those men threw a union organizer over an overpass and broke his back.
Oh, Jesus.
I know. It was fucked up. And then there was, in 1941, 50,000 Ford employees refused to work until Henry agreed to meet union demands. They were calling for higher wages, overtime pay, which should be a thing, and some sort of job security. And Henry was like, I'd rather shut down the plant than give in to unions. But eventually, like, Edsel and the government actually, like, weighed in, because they were creating things at the Ford plants. They were actually building things for the war effort at the time, and mm-hmm. war contracts were involved. And the government was like, get your shit together, basically. So Henry finally signed an agreement with union officials and he gave them everything they wanted. So yay. But yeah. he had to do it because the government was like, fuck you. We're going to pull away these war contracts if you don't do it. So in the spring of 1943, Edsel got really sick. And Henry just took this as another sign that his son was super weak. And if he would just, you know, eat better, and if he didn't drink alcohol, he would be fine. And it turns out that Edsel had stomach cancer.
Oh, fuck me. Oh, yeah. Of course.
Fuck cancer.
Oh, my God. His father probably gave it to him. All that stress.
Yes.
So
before all of this, he had horrible, horrible ulcers.
Yeah, I would, like, too, if that were my father.
Yeah. And even though he was seriously ill, Edsel kept working. And Henry didn't give a shit, didn't take it seriously that he was sick, and didn't think that Edsel was working up to his standards. And because Henry is such an asshole, he made a list of issues that he was having with Edsel's performance and had someone else deliver it to him. And when Edsel read it, he started crying.
Aww.
It's so shit. Dude is literally dying of cancer and working. And his dad's like, you're not working hard enough. And then a few weeks later, he actually collapsed at work. And then a few weeks after that, so it's May 1943, he died. He was 49.
Oh, my God.
So awful. A couple years later, Henry had a stroke, and he was struggling after that. Like, he failed to recognize old friends and associates. And then 2 years later, he died at the age of 83, and he was at home in Dearborn, Michigan. And yeah, Henry Ford is mainly remembered for his cars and how he advanced the automobile industry, and then how that, like, kind of brought us into what in the modern world, he modernized everything. Like people, you didn't have to stay in your same town anymore. You could easily travel. And that's a big deal. But he was also a racist and an anti-Semite who was always trying to control people's lives. And he bullied the people closest to him like his son. He's a piece of shit. And that is our creep, Henry Ford.
Wow. Well done, Sonia.
Thank you.
He's really shitty. Was his son married? Did he have a family?
Yeah, he was married and he had kids.
Oh, man.
And I didn't read anything bad about Edsel Ford and all of this. Like, he seemed like a decent person. He seemed like someone who loved to collaborate and, like, listen to other ideas and put out, like, the best stuff that you could. Like, what did he say? He said his dad wanted to make, like, the first cars, but Edsel wanted to make the best cars. It was something like that. I wish I had written that quote down. But, like, he really wanted to create, like, cool, comfortable cars. And, like, his dad just didn't think like that because he's a machinist. And
right.
He was just all about, like, what was under the hood, not necessarily the look of it. He was trash.
Yeah, I was going to say. And then, of course, the Edsel car is, like, one of the biggest flops in automobile history.
So sad.
Poor Edsel.
I know. He didn't deserve that. He deserved a better dad.
Yeah.
And I will say, like, it seems to me that, like, the Henry Ford, like, motor company has tried to do great things since Henry Ford. You know, they have this museum. They try donating to, like, arts organizations. They have, like, scholarships that they do for people. Like, I'm sure they don't love that their founder is this awful racist anti-Semite. So, you know, it's no shade on the company that exists right now. It's more about the man that started it all.
Yeah.
So if you drive a Ford, it's fine. You don't need to, like, get rid of your Ford. Just like if you drive a Volkswagen, you don't need to get rid of your Volkswagen. It's fine.
Okay. So,
but I have a Toyota.
Yeah, I haven't. Like I said, I lived in New York since 1995. I have not owned a car since then. They're all. That's one thing I'm, like, blissfully unaware of.
They're all probably. The truth is, I'm sure they're all problematic.
Oh,
Toyota doesn't. Toyota doesn't have a great rep either, but it's a good car.
Look, I like cars. I like getting around in them. I think they're fun.
For sure.
I just don't like parking them or paying for the insurance.
that's legit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you ready to hear about an inventor who wasn't a creep?
Yes, please.
Okay. What year was Henry Ford born?
Ooh, let's go back up to the top here.
You said 1863. All right. So my guy's older than that. He was born on October 28th, 1914. It's Jonas Salk. In America, starting in around the 1880s, a disease had come over to this country. They think it originated in Norway. But polio was a disease that very communicative. It could pop around from person to person via the air very, very quickly. And 1% of the people who got sick with polio, they would become paralyzed. If you were sick with polio, you would be in an iron lung. It was very hard to breathe. And it attacked people just randomly. It didn't matter how old or young you were. And it was a very, very scary diagnosis to get. And it's something mm-hmm. like my parents, their generation, people were very afraid of it. You know, if you're out swimming. And,
yeah.
You know, it's yeah. And Salk was the person who developed the vaccine. He worked on it for years. He went to the School of Medicine at University of Pittsburgh in 1947. He was a New Yorker. I love this. He wanted to get married and to this woman. She was based in New York City, and her dad was, like, this really rich dentist, like, really high in society, and looked at him and was like, oh, he's just some poor kid from the other part of the city. And, well, why don't you get yourself a middle name and you become a doctor? Maybe you can marry my daughter. So he actually got this middle name, but he never uses it. He develops this vaccine and it's the miracle worker. It's in April of 1955. And he chose not to patent the vaccine or see any profit from it because he wanted to make sure to maximize the global distribution.
Oh my gosh. That would not happen.
No. Because this was a worldwide problem.
Yes.
People were terrified. By 1959, the vaccine had reached 90 countries. There's an oral polio vaccine that was developed in 1961. Less than 25 years after the release of this vaccine, domestic transmission of polio had been completely eliminated in the United States. Salk had also was working on an AIDS, an HIV vaccine towards his later years. He founded the Salk Institute for Biological Studies in La Jolla, California. He campaigned vigorously for mandatory vaccination through the rest of his life, calling universal vaccination of children against disease a moral commitment.
Yep.
Edward R. Murrow was a big news person of the 50s. He was like the most trusted voice in news. And when they met each other, he said to him, "Who owns the patent?" And Salk said, "Well, the people, I would say. There is no patent. Could you patent the sun? The vaccine is calculated to be worth $7 billion had it been patented."
Wow.
When it was being developed, there were 200,000 volunteers. Also, over 1.8 million children participated at the time. A 1954 Gallup poll showed that more Americans knew about the polio feed trials than the full name of the president. It was also a huge deal when this vaccine came out. Elvis Presley went on The Tonight Show to get his vaccine. And all of a sudden, everybody started getting a vaccine. Like, celebrities are important when you're doing stuff like this. People that are notable, you know. But he eliminated a problem. And he made vaccines cool, and he made them part of the lifestyle. And I don't understand why people all of a sudden are like acting like they've never had a flu shot or they've never been vaccinated for anything before. It's completely ridiculous. I just want to say a couple of the awards. He's in the Polio Hall of Fame, of course. He was a humanist. He was an American humanist. He was the Humanist of the Year in 1976, 1977, Presidential Medal of Freedom from President Jimmy Carter was given to him. He is one of the most celebrated people. He's in the California Hall of Fame. I mean, the man is just incredible. He was a genius, and he never profited from that. He wrote
books.
That's
amazing.
He would go on television. He was a very private, shy man. Didn't like to do interviews, but he understood that people were scared and that they needed to relate to someone before that they would put this stuff into their bodies. And he did that. And he lived to be 80 years old in 1995. And that's our non-creep this week. Inventor of the polio vaccine, Jonas Salk.
Really good job, Margo. What a great pick.
Yeah.
I will never understand how vaccines became political.
They have been for a while. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know like 20, 25 years ago when I left college and I had friends who started getting married and started having families, like you would hear from some people that would say, "Well, I'm not vaccinating my kids." And some people were like, "Well, then you're not hanging out with my kids because my kids are getting vaccinated." And I know, like, my sister's a world traveler, and she said, you can't go to certain countries without getting vaccinations.
Correct.
There's somebody, I read somewhere that somebody in the military said he's going to leave the army if they make him take this vaccination. It's like, do you not know you had to be vaccinated to get into the army? You have to have a flu shot, by the way. You can't deny that. I don't know. It's been happening. This politicization of it, also with the autism, it's gone along with that. You know that, it's sort of this bell curve. Like, well, these things cause autism, and autism's just the worst thing in the world. It's not, by the way. I'm just talking about the way
also,
we talk.
Also, they don't cause autism.
They don't.
Jenny McCarthy.
Not exactly. So that kind of talk and thinking by Jenny McCarthy, by Robert Kennedy Jr., Robert De Niro is up there. Lisa Bonet, I remember when she, I'm going to shit on Lisa, but years ago when she was married to Lenny Kravitz, she was on Phil Donahue's show. She was pregnant and they were talking about, you know, vaccination. She says, I'm not going to give my kid a vaccination. That's poison. And people in the audience are like, no, you have to. You're going to send them to school. She goes, I'm not going to do it. This has not been, I mean, it's always been there, but it was a fringe. Now, all of a sudden, it's about, they're saying it's about freedom.
Yeah.
And you don't have the freedom to get me sick.
Yes. It's so interesting. Like, I was chatting with my dad last weekend, and my dad is, he's really conservative, and he's, you know, he's kind of a prick. But we were talking about it, and I was like, I just feel like people in the medical field should be vaccinated. Like, this is literally your field. Because we were talking about, like, all these nurses and doctors who are like, we're quitting because we don't want to get vaccinated. And I was like, well, that just seems weird. Maybe the medical profession isn't for you, you know. And even my dad was like, why would you work in medicine and not be vaccinated?
Exactly.
And I was like, shit, am I on the wrong side of history? Because I'm agreeing with my dad. But it's true. I'm like, it's just, people, please get vaccinated. Be safe. We just want you to be safe.
Yeah, it's for everybody. It's for everybody's good. I just, we were able to eradicate a disease that scared the shit out of people for decades.
Yes.
You know, it was just, and it was a crapshoot whether or not you got polio. It was a crapshoot if you got through it. Some people did, some didn't.
Yeah, and we're seeing like a huge, like there's an uptick now in things like measles.
Smallpox.
Things that were gone.
Gone.
Because people are not getting their children vaccinated. And these diseases are fucked up. And they will kill you. And they will maim you. And
even if they don't kill you, they could kill somebody else.
Yes.
Who's immune compromised. And if you really do have a reason why you can't, fine. I mean, I'm not talking about you. If you literally, you have a legal reason of a very...
Yes.
Yes. That's I get.
Of course.
But 99% of the people who are bitching about it do not.
Don't. No.
Like Jim Brewer, do you hear about this?
No, what did Jim Brewer do?
So Patton Oswalt said he was going to cancel some dates in Florida and some and one other state, I forget where it was, because they would not confirm to him that they
Utah.
That they would not confirm to him that the people in the audience would have vaccinations. And most of these places, they do on-site testing for COVID. So you could just go there and get a COVID test. And if it's negative, that usually is okay.
Mm-hmm.
But they wouldn't give him that much. And so he said, then I'm not going to do the shows. I got a kid at home that's not vaccinated. I can't.
Right.
You know. And Jim Brewer now, he said he's going to go to all those places that he refuses to demand that his audience be vaccinated, basically. Like Eric Clapton. But a dumber stoner, more stoned Eric Clapton.
Jim Brewer is not a replacement for Patton Oswalt.
No.
Like, no.
No. No. And honestly, take a second right now. If you wind up on Tucker Carlson and he's being nice to you, you're fucked up. Somewhere along the way, you fucked up. And you need to right yourself. Because he was on Tucker Carlson this week, and Tucker Carlson's like, oh, right, yeah. And the guy, he's trying to do shtick but be angry at the same time. It just always makes you look like an idiot.
Yes. No, how does, like, that is no substitute. Like, that's like you ordered, like, an amazing dinner, and then somebody served you fucking a hot dog.
But not a hot dog. Don't shit on hot dogs. Let's say something else.
Okay.
Like cup of soup.
A cup of soup. There you go.
Like, you know, the plastic, you know, the styrofoam cup and that.
Good call. I don't want to shit on hot dogs.
I had the best hot dog, by the way.
Was that place really good?
Dog Day Afternoon. You guys, in Windsor Terrace. It's really good hot dog.
Hot dogs. Hot dogs. Hot dogs.
Get your red hots.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, we have to go to Wiener Circle when we're in Chicago.
Yeah, so we're going to say this is a good... good segue here, you guys. We don't have a new episode next week because Sonia and I, we're going to Chicago. I am officiating a wedding. I'm super psyched about it. Sonia decided to take a few days. we're going to hang out with each other. We might record something when we're there. We're not sure, but we're definitely going to be meeting up with our friends from F This Movie.
It's so fun.
Which is going to be so much fun. So next week, I'm either going to replay an episode or we'll just leave it blank. But if we're replaying one, we were thinking of doing the Errol Flynn episode. People seem to really like the one. It's from the first season. Not everyone has it. So we might be replaying that. But as always, on social media and everywhere else, send us your suggestions for creeps and non-creeps. You can do that email. We love it when you use the Annie Potts GIF. We got one on social media. But some of you have been really clever in finding other things. And
yes,
please send them out to us. We love it. We love the interaction. If you would like some stickers, shoot us an email. Once again, go to Patreon if you want to support the show. And Sonia, where can they find you?
You can find me at thesoniashow.com and The Sonia Show on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. I am going to start doing some videos for TikTok promoting What a Creep and Dorking Out. So you could follow me there if you like.
Nice.
And yeah, and I wanted to say when we get to Chicago, we're going to do a crime and mob boss like bus tour. So I think we'll have some creeps come out of that for sure. Where can people find you on the internet, Margot?
You can find me on social media at Brooklyn Fit Chick, mostly for Twitter and Instagram. My site is brooklynfitchick.com. If you enjoy the sound of our voices, and by this point, aren't they just like a lullaby to you? We also co-host a show called Dorking Out, where we just dork out about movies. We're doing Chicago movies right now, so the next one is going to be Running Scared.
Yeah. Sweet freedom, shine that on me.
We're going to be singing some Michael McDonald.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to be great.
Yes, our friend Adam Risky from F This Movie is going to be joining us, and those episodes are always very, very fun. So
very hilarious.
Join us.
Won't you?
Won't you?
In the meantime, stay safe, be good to each other. Don't be a creep.
Creep. Thank you for listening to us talk about creeps. You can follow us at What a Creep Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
But don't follow us too closely.
You can email us your creepy stories at whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com.
But please keep your dick pics to yourself.